This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org. The following sermon was preached on Wednesday, January 26, 2022. The Memorial of Saints Timothy and Titus by Father William Doc Holliday.
Rekindle the spiritual gift of God which is in you.
In the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Those words from St. Paul to the letter of Timothy, 2 Timothy 1, to be exact. He is speaking to Timothy as his, as it says, his beloved son. With great affection, St. Paul writes to Timothy. But just like any other father who has a great affection for his son, he wants to admonish him when necessary. We see this in the greetings of Paul's letters. If he writes to an individual or to a church, Paul always starts out with his commission by God. It's not a matter of, dear Timothy, blah, blah, blah. It is Paul, an apostle appointed by God. He opens this very general way to sort of set the stage of where, who he is. Like Timothy doesn't know, okay, he walked with St. Paul. It's not a big, that Paul's going to emphasize with him the fact that his commission gives him, it, not the, the authority, but it gives him an interior disposition to want to help everywhere he can, particularly when it comes to nurturing up the faithful, whether again, it be faithful in a community or a faithful person like St. Timothy. Paul speaks of his commission to announce that Christ has fulfilled God's promise of salvation. This should be our approach, again, if you're speaking to a group of people or to one person at lunch or in your living room. The idea that of the gospel, generally speaking, that, you know, not getting specific and pointed with a person, but the fact that God loves them and has sent his son to die for them. I mean, not in maybe those words exactly, but that is the gist of what we should present to people. This is what Paul does. And then you get personal with them, as Paul does with Timothy here. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Again, you know, you show affection for people. We ought not to present the gospel as if we're presenting to them a bunch of facts, like you're giving them a theology lesson. I mean, there's some people who, some people like that. The whole preaching thing, it never, my whole preaching, everybody's got a different style. My preaching, I basically like to talk about something, talk to you about what the scriptures say, talk to you about something. Some people, it doesn't resonate with it. As a matter of fact, there was a homily not too long ago and a person came up to me and they said, I really appreciate it because it was like point by point and you got really specific about what's, as I was preaching, I was like, this sounds more like a theology lesson than it does anybody else. Some people like that, okay? So, I mean, this whole preaching thing, this is why St. Paul, okay, this is why he covers the bases. Here, let me throw out the general gospel to you. Now, let me get specific with you, Timothy. Let me tell you what you need to know. Now, again, a lot of people like that, you know, to get very pointed with them. That's where Paul goes. And he starts to talk about things in Timothy's background. You know, like when you're counseling someone, you know, you just don't start with, hey, you've been messing up. You do this, you do that. Like, what do? You start with positives. You give people positives. You know, hey, man, you've been doing a really good job. You know, you've been doing a really good job. And then there's always that after you go on for that for a couple of minutes, there's always a, but, you know, that but, it's always going to get you. But Timothy, my beloved son, all the good things you got going for you, Timothy. Verse 5, he talks about the he actually talks about the association between Christianity and Judaism. It was sort of taking Timothy out of the whole equation for a second. You know, he's given this general thing, and then I love you, Timothy. It's great. You know, and isn't it great that we serve a faith, but it's basically St. Paul, and he always goes here, that shows the association between Judaism and Christianity. And in Timothy, you know, he talks about this, you know, without saying those words. He associates Judaism with Christianity in Timothy's case. You know, you remember the faith, you know, the faith, this continual faith that God has presented us since Genesis. In your case, Timothy, your grandmother Lois, she was a woman of faith. Remember, this is written like about 30 years after our Lord's ascension into heaven. Okay, 30-ish years. Timothy is probably, you know, mid-20s, maybe late-20s, maybe 30. So his grandmother, she's born before Jesus, before his man. So when he talks about her being a woman of faith, he's talking about her being a Jew. And we know from the scriptures, Acts chapter 16, that Eunice, his mother, was a Jew. But we also heard here in Acts chapter 16 that she was a Jew, but now she's a believer. She's a Christian. She's a convert. We don't see anything about his grandmother being converted. So we're seeing this, Paul presenting this continuous line of faith from which Timothy comes. And then he speaks of the fact that Timothy knows the scriptures. We see this in what we're reading is from chapter 1, chapter 3, verse 15. From thy infancy thou hast known the holy scriptures. When St. Paul talks that way, I always point this out. When St. Paul talks about the holy scriptures, he is not talking about your Bible. When St. Paul talks about you knowing the holy scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. That was the only scriptures that they had at this time. Paul's the one writing them by doing this. So when he refers to the scriptures, he's talking about the Old Testament. So he lays this foundation that he's presenting, you know, he's trying to reemphasize the gospel of Christ to a man who is integrally related in this faith that has been presented to God since all time. And then he gets, this is the but. This is where he goes with the but for Timothy. Stir up the grace of God which is in thee. And there, we don't know specifically where Timothy needs to be critiqued. But St. Paul is emphasizing, for one thing, we do know this about Timothy's personality. And again, this is the reason I always tell you we need to know the scriptures everywhere, because it kind of fills in some blanks for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Paul is talking to the Corinthians about Timothy, and it says, see that he be with you without fear. It seems like Timothy was, at least occasionally, prone to be somewhat timid in his presentation of the faith. And then Paul goes on in his admonition to Timothy, said, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, Timothy. He's given us a spirit of power and of love. So this is where he starts going with Timothy. So again, we don't know specifically where he's being timid, but we can put two and two together and say, this is kind of a chronic issue with Timothy. So what does Paul do? As well as, hey, pull up your bootstraps, Timothy, and you know, subjectively approach this. You know, get your head right, Timothy. Obviously, Timothy's head isn't right now. Okay, so you don't look at a person who's making bad decisions, or let us just say questionable decisions. Look at them and make questionable decisions. Say, hey, start making good decisions. Well, if they're making questionable decisions, then maybe they need a little guidance. Maybe they need a little direction as to the decisions that you want them to make. And where does Paul go? Not subjectivity. He goes there with the objective. Timothy, you need to stir up the grace of God, which is in thee. Not subjectively. Where does he go to point to that? He goes to Timothy's ordination. He speaks of his ordination. Stir up the grace of God, which is in thee, by the laying on of my hands. There's a couple things that we learn about this. We learn, Paul is emphasizing in Timothy's case, He's emphasizing his ordination, but this applies also to baptism and confirmation. And what he's talking about is the indelible graces that are received by three of the sacraments. There are three sacraments, baptism, confirmation, and ordination, that are indelible. They never go away. This is why when a priest is approached to baptize someone, you need to make sure that, because a lot of people like to have their children baptized because grandma and grandpa are Catholics and mom and dad are Catholics and we've always been Catholics, so you baptize your babies. Last time I knew, you didn't go to Mass. Well, yeah, we don't go to Mass, but we need the baby baptized. I personally have said no to baptizing a child, because you can't baptize a child and bring them into life of the church and then have them be outside the life of the church, because you actually do them a disservice. Because after you're baptized, you are looked upon differently by God. You're looked upon as one of his children, and you will be judged as one of his children. Things will go better with the pagan at judgment than with someone who was baptized. Well, they didn't have anything to do with it. It doesn't matter. It's just an infant. Their parents had them baptized. It doesn't matter. The sacraments are objective, and they're indelible. Same thing with confirmation. This is one of my favorites. You know, when I listen to, you know, people come up to me, I used to be a Catholic. You still are. Well, no, I haven't been to Mass in a bunch of years. You've just been a mortal sin for a bunch of years. You're still a Catholic. Well, were you confirmed? Yes, you're still a Catholic. You're not practicing your faith. You're a bad Catholic, but you're still a Catholic. That's why I don't like when people talk about certain individuals in politics or wherever. They're not a Catholic because they do that. Oh, no. Oh, no, this is what really makes it sad for them. It would make you fervently pray for them. They are Catholics. They are Catholics. They're just very bad ones in mortal sin, and their souls are in danger. Because why? Because it's an indelible sacrament. You go, well, I've choose not to practice anymore. Okay. That has nothing to do with the sacrament. That just has to do with your practice or lack thereof. Same thing applies in ordination. You hear about priests being laicized. All that means is they don't exercise their public ministry anymore. A different subject for a different day, but that's a very sad state of affairs, because they are still priests. The demonic Macaric is still a priest. Oh, no, they kicked him out. They defrocked it. He's still a priest. That's why unless he repents, there will be a very, very low place in hell set aside for him, because he's a priest. Very dark, demonic one, but a priest nonetheless. Okay, because why? Because ordination is indelible. This is where we get this idea. Where the church says that, the church doesn't say it. The Holy Spirit does through St. Paul. Remember the grace that is within you by the laying on of my hands. You can be timid, Timothy, but guess what? You need to buck up, because you're a priest. The grace is in you. You need to just use it. You need to cooperate with the graces. This is where St. Paul going. So, you know, this isn't a lesson in Timothy's timidity or being ordained to the priesthood. This has to do with the objective element of our spirituality, our baptism and confirmation for everybody that's a Catholic and an adult, that we need to take St. Paul's advice, because we can't help it. There are times when we become timid in our faith. I don't mean not sharing the gospel with people with whom you may come in contact, family members and things like that. That's a thing. It's a huge thing. But that's not all he's talking about. He's talking about when we get lukewarm. He's talking about when we start to falter. Okay, I don't mean questioning this or questioning that, because then you're actually engaged in your faith, because you're thinking about that. When you become apathetic to things of the faith, or when we become complacent at the badness that's going on in the church right now, St. Paul, he admonishes us not to do that. We need to rekindle the spiritual gift of God that is within us by the virtue of our baptisms and confirmations. This is what we need to do. This is what we take away from this. It's very practical. Because, like I said, we all find ourselves in this place. So when you start finding yourself in a place like that, what do? You look at it and you remember what St. Paul says, or I should say the Holy Spirit says through St. Paul, what he tells us. You know, when you start to feel like that, don't subjectively think, oh, what should I do? What could I do? Go back to foundation. Go back to the idea and the understanding that by virtue of your baptism and your confirmation, you have graces that are permanent. You just need to use them. I'm always talking, we hear that word grace all the time. I'm forever harping on this one. What is a grace? I mean, we can go through the list of the fruits of the Spirit and all the, you know, all the good things like that. And I'm not being pejorative, but we need to step back at what are graces? They're tools to build yourself up in the faith. There are weapons to fight the spiritual battle in which we find ourselves. Just like any tool or weapon in this world, it is absolutely useless if you don't pick it up. It is absolutely useless if you don't know how to use it. And even after you know how to use them, to get experience in using them. You read the instructions of a complicated tool, for instance. You go, okay, complicated tool. You know, a wood lathe. I'm going to spin a bowl on the wood lathe. I just bought one yesterday. You ever used it before? No. Then I'll put a square piece of wood on this bad bear and make me a bowl out of it. Stand back and watch that fun. Because why? You don't, I always use this example. When I was in the Marine Corps, you know, you see, you walk around buildings and you see the guys use the buffer, the floor buffers. Any idiot could do that. Look, you turn it on and it polishes the floor for you. I remember the first time I turned one of those things on. I pulled that handle and that bad bear smashed into the wall so quick. I mean, it takes a lot of finesse. You got to get it right balanced to where both of those little things that are going around are balanced out, because if you move it, that's how you drive it. You like pick it up a little bit and it goes this way. You push it down and it goes this way. But if you don't know what you're doing, you pull that handle back. Wham! It just shoots right against the wall. Well, I had never used one before. That's it. Any idiot can do this. You just pull the handle. Knowing that you need to pull the handle is one thing. Experiencing how to do it is a completely different object. That's our faith. That's grace. I read the scriptures. I know about long suffering. I know about self-control. Really? Patience? Oh, darn. You just went off on that Publix clerk because she didn't do this or he didn't do that correctly. Oh, but I'm patient. I know about it from the scripture. Knowing about it is one thing. Experiencing it is a completely different ballgame. This is what Paul's talking about in a nutshell. So we need to look at the graces that we're given. But just not look at them like he's telling Timothy. Stir them up. Stir them up, Timothy. Just don't think about them. Just don't walk around here being a bishop, because that's what he was at the time. Don't you walk around being a bishop. Start acting like one. So when we come across this, stop sitting around looking like a Catholic and telling everybody you are. Start acting like one. Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.